800-827-7283. That's 800-827-7283. 800-827-7283. NMLS 6606.
KLOS and KLOS HD1, Los Angeles. This is the Rock of Southern California, and this is the home of Sports on Tap.
Your one-stop shop for sports talk.
With JD and the Bus.
Great icebreaker. If you can talk sports, you can talk with any guy in the world.
Kicking off right now on 95.5 KLOS.
Hey, thanks for dialing us up early. Appreciate that. It's Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS, JD and the Bush. I want to start talking about fighting. Let's talk fighting before football. Rob and I both work at NBC Sports. That's the other job. That's our day. Is that our day job? No, that's
for now,
just another job.
Right? Radio's a week-to-week business, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Herbalife, are you hiring? Uber?
Well, we're watching the East Coast feed. They're starting to show video because they're ahead of us. Over the, you get it sooner there than here. And so we've already seen video of the fight. I didn't pony up the cash for that. I'm not doing that.
I've been burned like 12 too many times.
Yeah, exactly. My wife used to get, we'd have parties back in the day in Vegas when Mike Tyson was fighting. Yep. And he had so many first rounds. She's like, I'm not doing it anymore. Stop. Forget it.
Yeah, your wife was in getting the popcorn or something on the mic with the nachos. You come back and it's over.
That's it.
I know. I don't blame her, man.
And it wasn't a first rounder last night at UFC 205, but it may as well have been. Conor McGregor destroyed Eddie Alvarez, and I can say that with confidence. That's not what I read. That's not what I heard. I watched him just pepper this guy in the face with shots. I mean, he put him on his back just over and over and over again. There was no question about where this fight was going, but he ended it pretty quickly in, second round.
You a big fan of Lucky Charms? You like that guy?
No, not at all.
I don't either. I mean, there's one thing to win with a little humility and class and grace and stuff, and I get it. The sport you're in doesn't necessarily breed class, does it? UFC?
I'm just not a Neanderthal big UFC
type
guy.
Nor am I.
Maybe it's because I'm old school and
dude,
I like boxing back in the day.
He doesn't have to be such a tool, though, does he?
But believe me, I've given up on boxing, too, because boxing has proven itself to be not the straightest thing ever either. Not that I'm calling UFC crooked, but I'm saying, you know, I left boxing because I became, you know, disillusioned with what I was seeing there. And the UFC thing, I just can't get all the way wrapped around. I know it's mad crazy popular, but this guy losing to Nate Diaz a couple of months ago, when I saw that fight, that was just uninspired. I don't care, you know, and you know, you take a loss. It's like, man, you pay your money. I pay like anybody else. You pay your money. You want a better performance than that.
Not me. I rip it off my neighbor's cable box like everybody else. I'll have to show you how to do that, too. So not only that, I can get that porn. You hit it twice on the side, and it unscrambles it. It's awesome.
We'll do that next.
Thank you.
On 95.5.
Where's the TV at? Give me the remote.
KLOS. He's weekend on 95.5 KLOS. That applies to us here as Sports on Tap.
Good Veterans morning. Day weekend, too. Happy Veterans Day to those who have served our country as well, too. It's been a busy weekend, man, in the sports world.
Yeah, it has. Let's recap a little bit of college football action. We actually have a Bruin and a Trojan game to talk about that's current that happened yesterday, and good news for both of them. The Trojans and the Bruins both were in action. UCLA was at home against Oregon State, and they come away surprisingly with the victory after Josh Rosen went down. I mean, it's all doom and gloom in Westwood. Oh, that's it. The season's over.
Yeah. They beat an Oregon State team that's 2-8, you know. So, but still, they won the game. And hey,
exactly.
you can't be responsible for what your opponent
guy's
is
record,
when
yeah.
they come into town
you just
or
have
how
to
banged
win.
Up they are. You have to win. You have to play your football. The bigger story, though, is what USC goes up and does. Just, I mean, utterly pissed me off. I'm embarrassed to be a Washingtonian today, honestly. I've actually written the program, and I said, you guys are better off.
I wrote the program.
Yeah, I wrote the UW already. I'll show you the email here. And I said, why don't you guys forfeit your last two games, okay? You lose to Modern Day of Southern California, okay, 26-13. You guys may as well not even play in the Apple Cup because now nine people are going to watch. I don't care about you playing Arizona State anymore. You know the funny thing, though? They're going to get a rematch with USC for the Pac-12 title to go to the Rose Bowl. That's going to be in Santa Clara on December 2nd. Huskies have to beat the Cougs in the Apple Cup because it's really winner-take-all up there. They're so far ahead in the North. And then if USC continues to handle its business.
Well, come on, you got the Cougs.
Yeah, Cougars are playing great football. Cougars are playing great football. I mean, they lost their first two games of the year by 3 points each, and now they've ripped off eight in a row, and every win's been by an average of 30-plus.
Uh-oh.
So they're playing good football. That game's the day after Thanksgiving on the Palouse. too. So and, it's up there in the snow.
Next weekend, it will be USC and UCLA. So the local rivalry is on.
Yeah.
Tommy Trojan will be wrapped in plastic, as will the Bruin all week long. Right. To keep the vandals away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to have security guards around that watching everything there. It's going to be at the Rose Bowl.
Shouldn't the Bruins have like a couple of Bruins out in front of it? Go ahead. Bring your.
You should.
Spray paint over here.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that, you know, but it's going to be
Although
the
guy in the Tommy Trojan outfit, you don't want him protecting anything.
It's just tough sledding, too, for SC. I mean, you got not only UCLA and Notre Dame. I don't mean tough on the schedule. I mean, it's just the best possible scenario for SC to get those two opponents right now because, let's face it, they're going to win eight in a row. They're going to win the Pac-12 South. Do you see USC, based on how they're playing now, losing to UCLA?
You know why?
I mean, it's a crosstown rivalry.
Their defense, but their defense, yeah. I mean, what they just did in Washington, they held Washington to one touchdown.
Yep. Number one offense in the Pac-12 and number one defense in the Pac-12, and you flip the script and shut them both down, and that's the whole game. I mean, there's
Hefty
a certain
accomplishment
time.
For SC.
There's a time where, you know me, I'll look for any way that my team could have won the game. I was watching that game in the first quarter, JD, and I was like, you know what, Washington's going to lose. I could tell in the way it was going to happen. I was like, this.
Sometimes you can.
You can see.
And body language and, you know, things like that.
And next thing you know, dude, you look up, it's the fourth quarter. You're running out of clock, and you're just like,
how'd this happen?
You're waiting for it to happen.
Jim Harbaugh is still lying in his bed, flat on his back, wide awake, wondering, how did this happen? How do I lose to an unranked team 14-13? I mean, there had to be another point out there somewhere.
Yeah, it was a big interception late in the game they took. I think it has to do with the locker room, though, and the psyche the Iowa Hawkeyes employ. The story, when you go to Iowa's stadium to play a football game there, they paint the visiting locker room pink. Okay, to send
mess
a message.
With your head.
Yeah, to mess with the head. You know, we want to make it passive. You're soft. You're weak. They paint it pink. And, of course, a couple of people have tried to say that that's a sexist thing and tried to get it painted and stuff. Thank God the school stood their ground and said, no, it's going to stay
pink. No, it's a psych you out thing.
And guess what? It's psyched out Michigan, who's lost four in a row there at Iowa. Go figure.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, first time in 30 years. Number 2, 3, and 4.
All lost on
Clemson,
the same
Michigan,
day.
Washington on the same day. It hadn't happened since 1985. And number
and throw
8 and 9.
8 and 9. Yeah, 8 and, so 5 of the top 10 all fell on the same day.
So, I mean, in essence, I guess, you know, for my team to have a shot at that Final Four, their shot still is good because so many people lost the same other time, you know. Yeah. But it's just frustrating, man. When you know what you have to do, you can't go out and handle business.
If you're USC, you're pretty happy right now because you're right. The way it looks, Notre Dame, they're having an off year. UCLA has lost their star quarterback. And is now they're in next man up mode. It's their table to run.
Colorado's ranked ahead of USC, has one loss in conference, but here's the thing: it was to USC. Yeah. So USC is going to win the South.
Yeah, well, looking like it.
Yeah, they're going to win.
Theirs to lose.
Well, it is theirs to lose. Well, you got one game left. One game left because Notre Dame's a non-conference opponent. So can UCLA really pull SC back down to reality and back down to earth? I don't think so.
My phone is blowing up over here, and it's the show's attorney, Drew Sherman, is blowing up my phone over here and is demanding to be on the radio.
That's fine.
So we'll do that coming up next.
Drew.
That means we're going to talk about the Raiders. It's 95.5 KLOS. 95.5 KLOS and some AC/DC for you this morning. JD in the Bush bringing you Sports on Tap. And if I can have, I need the Raider music before we can bring the show's attorney on. Drew Sherman from the Adley Law Group here in Los Angeles. On with one of his favorite clients, us. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Aren't we one of your favorites?
Let's not get crazy.
I don't get too crazy early in the morning. All right.
Man, but do you love that Raider music in the morning? It smells like victory.
Victory.
Well, you guys won't lose today. I'll give you that. I feel good about your chances.
I mean, even on a bye week, you always got to be thinking Raiders.
Yeah.
Always got to be thinking silver and black, guys.
Hey, how big was that win last week against Denver? I mean, first time you'd played them all year. I think that, to me, was a litmus test like a lot of people. Well, we'll see how you are. Check back next week, and you look good.
You beat the champs.
Yeah.
I honestly, guys, I think that was probably the biggest win since the Tuck Rule game. I mean, since, you know, that's how we're – this. That's the crest, that's the horizon that we've been coming to
all
these years, you know?
Do you want to see the Raiders and the Patriots in the snow for the AFC title to go to the Super Bowl? Is that what you want? Do you want full-blown payback for the snow job?
I want Hockley as the ref. I want in Gillette Stadium. I want Giselle there in the stands. That's what I want.
She's in the booth, man. She doesn't come down and mix with the common folk.
Whatever, because last time I think she was there, Wes Welker dropped the pass. So I think, that's all good.
No, I mean, I've talked to a bunch of Raider fans. That's exactly what they want. Their team is playing well since what? When was the Super Bowl? 02?
'01.
Yeah. So it's been about 15 years since you've been to a Super Bowl, and everybody's pumped up. But every Raider fan I talk to wants the Patriots. They know. I mean, look, we all know they're the best team in the league. I mean, honestly, I mean, who sees anybody beating the Patriots right now? If we played the Super Bowl today, I don't see anybody beating them.
Exactly. Sorry to cut you off there, Jim. But exactly. And I want it in Gillette. I want the snow. I want Gruden. You know, there. Let them call the game. Hockley is the ref. I want it set up, and I want Tom Brady. He will go down, and he will go down hard, and it will be a fumble this time.
I want to see Jack Del Rio and Derek Carr for the post-game press conference there, eating a bowl of Kraft macaroni and cheese, just to shove it back in Robert Kraft's face, right there on the podium. You think you can do that for me? Can you score that?
I think we're going to invite Greg Beaker, too. He's just going to be an honorary sideline member of the Raiders at that point in time.
I like how your schedule sets up. Texans, Panthers, Bills. I mean, the Panthers a little bit down this year. We still know what they're capable of. Before you go to Kansas City, I could see three more in a row you rip off, which would be six total. That'd be huge.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Texans coming up, that's going to be a big game. That's an important game. We shouldn't underestimate them. And then, you know, KC, that's going to be – we got to beat those guys. That's the bottom line.
Let's talk about something really more in your wheelhouse, and that's Richard Sherman taking out the Bills kicker, then the wife of the Bills kicker trying to take out Richard Sherman. Come on, do we got any slander, libel, anything like that going on with that story?
Oh, you know what? I think Richard Sherman has a point because, I mean, you notice he did not get penalized because he knows the rules.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, and if he's going to call him out like that, and he's operating within the rules. He's not doing anything wrong. And, you know, defamation for a celebrity or somebody in the public is a high standard to meet.
Tough,
so don't
worry,
Jim. You wouldn't have to, you know, you have a low standard there. So don't worry about that. But, yeah, I mean, it's a high standard. But, you know, I mean, he's playing within the rules. I admire that. I mean, that's what I do for a living is I know the rules. I got to know how to operate within them. And,
right.
You know, if you don't like it, too bad. I'm playing within the rules, and so is he.
There you go. Drew Sherman, that's his name. Are you related to Richard Sherman? J.D. said you were.
The second cousin twice.
Thank you.
At Passover, we get together usually.
Passover.
Mothers both washed laundry into the same sun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. When you see him at Kwanzaa, man, tell him I said what up, okay?
I will.
Next week, we'll ask you about Ronnie Lott's or Ronnie Lott's dad or something like that. I don't know.
I have not a problem whatsoever. I think a 100-foot, 24-karat gold statue of Al Davis in front of the stadium, I think that's totally reasonable.
Nice.
Absolutely. So, hey, a balanced defense and offense, I think, is what this team's about. Kansas City has it as well, too. The Raiders, in terms of what they've allowed, what I like about them, they win close games. For example, points for, points against. Here you are 9 weeks in. It's only a difference of like 20 points. So you're winning games by field goals here and there, these close games. They did it with the Ravens on the road. They did it versus the Chargers week one with the Saints. It means more, I think, to win these games close than it does blowout. It makes you more battle-tested. Do you agree?
I completely agree, and I think it started with week one where he went for the two-point conversion rather than going into OT.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember watching that game clearly at my buddy Sam's house, and I just said that tells you what kind of coach he's going to be, and that's the kind of coach that the Raiders need. They need a grizzled kind of guy who's not afraid, who's ready to, you know, step up and you know, put his back in it, and that's Jack Del Rio. I think those close games matter. I agree with you.
All right, thanks for the update and not sending the bill. That's Drew Sherman from the Adley Law Group right here in Los Angeles.
I couldn't even get the stamp money back, Jim. So, I mean, come on.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
All right, very good. Coming up with the program, still a long way to go here. Alex Gelhar from the NFL Network is going to stop by on his way to work and help us tweak your fantasy football lineup. It's 95.5 KLOS Sports on Tap.
Incredible yet true.
We think.
No, it's not anymore.
We don't think anymore.
No,
it's just not true.
It's not true. It's a lie.
You're making it all up? Come on, it's the name of the thing is Bushka Facts.
Wishka, fact or fiction? No, this is actually true. Look, we know everybody's been nuts over this election that we had. Thank God it's finally over and we can get back to our TV ads, right? Not be, you know, proposition this, proposition that. The people are protesting out there in the streets, JD, on the freeways, too. God.
You be careful out there. You get run over out there.
That's great.
You know, only half the country agrees with you.
Hey, my Jeep will go up and down your ass, and I'll put it in reverse, too, and back over you twice. All right. Well, you want crazy in sports? I'll tell you what it is next. 95.5 KLOS.
You've got room for an extra $1,000 in your pocket, right?
The Mooshka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
Incredible yet true.
We think. I have to keep throwing that disclaimer in there.
No, this one is, man. I had to talk to our crack staff or staff on crack, you know, about digging these numbers out for you. And indeed, we found it. I talked about how crazy things are. This is probably one of the more craziest stats in the NFL. 1942, the year you and I broke into radio here. Mm-hmm. Yep. The Giants, they pounded the ball, JD, 26 times, right? That's a normal day, rushing.
Sure, 26 times carrying the ball, yeah.
It gained 1 yard.
What?
1 yard.
Plus 1 yard on 26 carries.
Yes, and it was not Christine Michael. Okay, I looked. It was not, okay? It's a 1 yard that they got. And here's what's
Trent Richards?
No, yeah, even, even crazier, they didn't record a first down.
Okay? What?
They didn't get a first down. So how bad did they lose the game?
Yeah,
they won. They won 14-7. They beat the Redskins.
Wow.
Yeah, who went by the name Washington Redskins back then? It was good enough then during World War II. Go fair. I don't know. But, 14-7, they won. And what's the weirdest part about that is Washington won the championship that year.
What?
That was their only loss.
Okay, that's your craziest Bushka fact right there.
I'm telling you, man.
That one wins. That takes the cake right there.
Yeah, indeed, man. That's crazy. But it wasn't necessarily Deshaun Watson of Clemson yesterday throwing the ball 70 times. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a quarterback.
I still think it's probably somebody related to Trent Richardson running the ball, though.
600 yards, JD. 70 passes, and he lost.
And you lose the game.
600 yards passing, and you lose.
Seriously, it was like 580-some yards yesterday.
Oh, and he lost.
All right, coming up next, it's going to be Alex Gellhart from the NFL Network. He drives by, bails out of the car. Rolls up, stands in front of the microphone. We spin the car back around, boom, and he's off the NFL Network. Help you with your fantasy lineup next on 95.5 Gale. Pretty good move because the gate swings open. He's got the convertible, the ragtop, and he just kind of hops right out. It's kind of like a Batman Bruce Wayne movie.
Speaking of the 90s, what is it? A 93 Miata you're driving or a 92? Chicks dig it either way, man. I think it's an RX-7.
My Hyundai accent is not quite as cool as you guys are hyping it up to be, but hey, it's a dependable little car, so.
Is that a convertible?
No, it's not a convertible. It's a baby little sedan.
Ah, okay. Well, we got some hookups around town. We'll see if maybe we can lower it or put some 22s
right,
on there
good.
For you.
I mean,
you down with 22s?
The four cylinders that I'm rocking in there right now, you know, really help me cruise down the freeway.
Briggs & Stratton.
Yeah, I used to have a little thing called a 911 that only had four cylinders, and it moved pretty good. There I actually love those. Not a 911, the 914s.
914s.
Remember the flat boxy ones? Yeah. The whole roof would come off.
That's a Porsche
and
you're talking
stick it
about,
into
though,
the,
of course.
Yeah, well, it's
you make big boy money. So, me, I take a bus.
I'm talking about the 70s when you get one of those things for about $3,500. Try and get one now at all.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay, yeah, it's car talk on KLOS. No, it's football talk, fantasy football talk with Alex Gellhart from the NFL Network. A bunch of teams on bye this week going to make it difficult with teams like, well, Buffalo, Detroit, Indianapolis, Oakland. Let's start with quarterbacks. Who are we reaching for QBs today?
Well, a guy I actually like this week is Jay Cutler from the Chicago Bears playing Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They just bleed yardage through the air. I think they've almost allowed over 1,000 total yards their last two games.
Wow.
So that's a good matchup to start. He's back. He's going to pummel Alshon Jeffrey with targets again and Zach Miller as well. So I think Cutler's a good guy to look for if you're desperate. Because this, actually, believe it or not, all four of the quarterbacks on a bye are top 10 scorers right now in fantasy.
Wow. Wow.
Speaking of four, 0-4 on the road, 0-4 at home. Something's got to give in that game. Someone's going to win, right?
Eventually.
The Bears or the Buccaneers, I'm telling you. You know, one game at least that stands out to me on paper and fantasy-wise, tell me if you like anybody to play here. Vikings at the Redskins. Are the Vikings, who were God's gift to football 3 weeks ago at 5-0, the last of the unbeatens, now losers of three straight, are they going to stop that bleeding, turn that train back around? Are the Redskins going to say, Cowboys, don't run too far away with the division. We're still in it, too.
You know, I actually think this is a really interesting game both to watch from a football standpoint and from fantasy. I think there's a couple guys that are interesting to play. The Vikings backfield, get it out of my life. I don't want any part of it in fantasy.
Now you add Ronnie Hillman to it. As if it wasn't bad enough of McKinnon or Asiata, now Ronnie Hillman is in there.
Exactly. It's a three-way attack. But Stephon Diggs, he kind of disappeared after that big Sunday night thrashing of the Packers. He's back now. They're playing him in the slot more, which means he'll avoid Josh Norman. He's a good play. Kyle Rudolph still getting plenty of targets. And then Jamison Crowder and Jordan Reed, I think, are really good starts for Washington because the Minnesota defense is weakest over the middle, and that's where both of those guys run more of their
routes. Deshaun Jackson good? He's been iffy in and out with...
He's still banged up. He's on the injury report, so we don't know his full status
yet.
He's
so fast, so, man. Being banged up, he's still faster than 80% of the guys in the league,
maybe. When he's 100%, but he's not right. You know, again, all these teams in the bye... Atlanta's Tevin Coleman, he's out. He's not going to play. Buffalo, that means no Shady McCoy. Detroit, Indy, Oakland, we got a lot of running backs we need to fill holes for, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, going back to that Washington game, you could grab Rob Kelly there. He's going to be the starter now. Matt Jones, we don't know yet. They even hinted he could be a healthy scratch because he fumbled the ball so much.
Oh.
So keep, keep an eye on that. Yeah, I think he has 9 fumbles and like 200-some career touches. Otherwise, look to Bushka's team over here. CJ Procise in Seattle could be a guy to scoop up. Or Peyton Barber in Tampa Bay.
How about that game, New England and Seattle? There's a couple of players running backs on both sides that may or may not be coming back tonight. What do you know about Thomas Rawls, number one? Is he playing tonight? I know he's about ready. They want him back. And the same thing on the other side for New England.
Well, Thomas Rawls has officially been ruled out.
Oh, he's out.
Yes. Right. And then Deion Lewis got activated to the roster. But we don't yet know how much he's going to play. The word out of practice is that he looks great.
He practiced all week.
He practiced all week, but you never know with bringing somebody back.
Look, on a bye week, would you run him out there? I mean, if you picked him up and you were hoping that he'd be ready for the bye week, you don't know. I mean, maybe you're forced to.
I mean, if you're forced to, by all means, I'm just chicken when it comes to that stuff. When it comes to a player's first game back after big injuries,
right?
I'd rather take the loss with him on my bench than take an actual loss in the fantasy game.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how the tight ends do here because, I mean, Jordan Reed up there, yeah, we know Tyler Eifert's great as well, too, but it's hard to deny the way they're playing right now that Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham are not playing the two best tight end spots at football, and here they are going head-to-head with one another. It's easier said than done just to take one of those guys away. They're so big and they're so hard to cover.
Yeah.
Do you start them?
Oh, yeah, I start both of them.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny when one of these prime matchups, the sexiest matchup to sell it is the tight ends.
Yeah.
Isn't it? You know what? Let me throw Martellus Bennett in there, too, because we know how Belichick is, and we've been waiting for this twin tower tight end attack out of them. Could you very likely see a bunch of Martellus Bennett targets today because, you know, Seattle is going to be so focused on trying to slow down Gronk?
Potentially. And, I mean, Seattle traditionally, too, has been able to be attacked over the middle of the field, but Cam Chancellor should be back, so that could help.
That's going to help.
I would be worried about starting Bennett because there's a lot of other good tight ends out there as well, but if you're forced to start him, you know, you got a chance.
I was thinking about running him out there just as a flyer, just to think, you know, if they got Gronk all covered up, he's got that other tower. I mean, he's a monster, just like Gronk is.
There's logic to it. There's certainly logic to that.
Hey, who's going to run the ball for the Green Bay Packers? You know,
I think I'm actually hopping on a plane after this and suiting up. But no, James Starks, he's very, very close, is what they said all week. I think he'll play. He'll get a handful of carries. So will the fullback Aaron Ripkowski. So will Ty Montgomery.
How fair is it in sports when Eddie Lacy's doing his thing, boom, he's awesome. He's all right. I like him. When all of a sudden he's hurt, things aren't going to the floor, he's fat.
Well, I mean, the
Ozzie Guillen used to say the same thing in baseball, too. Bobby Jenks, his closer there in Chicago. He gets a save. He's all right. He starts giving up home runs. You're fat. Lose weight.
I think the weight gain trend, sadly, was something that stuck over the last couple of years. But when he's right, he's great. But sadly, they won't have him until potentially
he's got
the
same dietitian I found out as Pablo Sandoval, too. So I know. That's what I'm saying. You got to go somewhere. It's that down-home cooking.
Is that the all-carbs diet?
Okay.
It's the down-south cooking is what's going on there. Hey, you know a game that really intrigues me here. I was on a guest on a New Orleans station last week, and they had said, tell me the Saints are the 1-500 team you don't want to play. They just beat your Seahawks, blah, blah, blah. But that offense is so good, honestly. They get Denver today there. Yeah. It's in New Orleans, kind of a tough place to win. Those Saints fans get a little raucous down there, too. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, well, on the one side, you've got strength against strength with the New Orleans passing attack against the Denver secondary.
Yep.
But the New Orleans, actually, over the last 2 weeks, they've went 50-50 run pass. First 7 weeks, they were 42 to the run, 58 to the pass.
Yeah, they were balanced against the Seahawks,
They're cruising now. I think all the running backs in this game, both Saints and both Denver guys, are worth starting.
Something just popped up on my phone here this morning. I mean, while you were just talking, the New York Jets will start Bryce Petty at quarterback versus the Rams today. What do I do with Brandon Marshall now?
I honestly, if I had the ability to, I would sit him.
I've got John Brown on the bench.
I would probably feel better about John Brown, to be completely honest, than I would about Brandon Marshall. Because you have to worry, like, he was floated with all the volume that Fitzpatrick is throwing him, but from everything we've heard, Petty's really not yet ready. He's not that accurate. So even if if the targets are getting to Brandon Marshall, are they going to be good? Is he going to be able to catch him?
Is the moral of this story, play the Rams defense?
Yes. So.
Is it?
Yes, yeah. With reckless
maybe
abandon.
That is really a hot tip streaming defense pickup this morning is the Rams at the New York Jets.
And the Rams, it says here, this coming out too, have just signed Vince Ferragamo to the practice squad because they still don't have faith in Jared Goff to start yet. Let's wait till
there,
we lose
man.
A few more games before we put him in. But no, they're saying, honestly, Goff could be ready to go next week. What's so special about next week? Have you not carried the clipboard and watched your team play like crap for the last 2 months? Did I miss something here to where 70, 80 extra snaps is going to make a difference?
I honestly kind of respect the Rams' decision and their commitment to sticking with this and letting him develop.
Their season's over. You may as well. Why put the guy in? You know,
and
in
if you watched
like
him
that?
In the preseason, he wasn't there. Coming out of college, he wasn't. It was too much for him what he had to do pre and post snap, like reading the defense, getting all the things set. So let him take those reps, and then when he's ready, he's ready. Because if you throw him to the Wolves now, with his fan
base,
ruin
his confidence.
It's
going to
ruin
any
his
number
confidence.
Of things
it's going to ruin the fan base's confidence in him. So, like, everybody just take a chill pill, and we'll see Goff when he's ready.
Okay. Well, whether that's next week or not, who knows?
Probably next year. Alex, thanks for stopping by on your way to work, as always, man.
Of course.
Appreciate that.
Got to go roll back into the car now and then get over to the office.
All right. We'll have Dave to call the guys to bring the car around for you.
Turn the bass down when you come in here, man. It's distracting.
Exactly.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Boom.
You know, these young kids are dumping their bass.
Absolutely.
Back to the almighty 90s weekend.
Generation X,
95.5.
KLOS.
The world is a vampire.
There's some big name athletes out there that were veterans. You don't get much of it anymore. You know, you talk World War II, you talk certain guys. I mean, Willie Mays served time. Ted Williams.
You make it sound
time.
Like he was in jail. They served their country.
I guess you're right. I can rephrase that a little bit.
Pat Tillman is the one that people recognize with because it's modern. David Robinson is another one that people recognize with because these are more modern guys that have been in there. And I think a lot of people remember like the old Yankee guys from way back in the day, Yogi Berra, Joe DiMaggio, those guys. Dude, was there a greater veteran ever than Ted Williams, though?
Yeah,
His story is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Ted Williams, and as far as when you talk baseball players that were veterans, Ted Williams and Willie Mays. I mean, it's harder to get guys who had that much baseball clout that were veterans over there during, you know, the World War II time and during Korea.
Dig it, though, because I pulled this up. Teddy ballgame, Ted Williams entered the Navy in active duty as a pilot in 1943, a year after winning the Triple Crown, then served 3 years, was certified as a Naval aviator. Then 8 years later, at 33, his country asked him to come back again and fight in the Korean War. He flew 39 combat missions.
Yeah.
Twice called him to service. He said, "Yeah, all right, let's go. Let's go whoop some butt."
Absolutely.
Teddy ballgame. So,
you know, last I checked, too, the funny thing about that is to be a pilot, you're supposed to have good vision, right? You're not supposed to have the Coke bottles. You know, when you're there flying, they want to make sure it's good, and you need that to be able to hit a baseball. The best hitter of all time ever, Ted Williams, last guy to hit over 400. I doubt we'll ever see that again in our lifetime. Anybody even get close. Nobody gets above, 360, 370, you know, to get to, what was he at, 406 or something that he had in one? It's amazing.
And the end of it, the story was, is like he had 400 all wrapped up, and they had a doubleheader on the last day of the season. They say, "Look, sit, and you got it." And he's like, "Sit? What are you talking about?" He went like 5 for 7 with a couple of home runs.
Yeah, he did. He was checking in at 402, and he raised it up to 406 or something. Yep. Yeah, amazing.
I mean, would today's modern day player do that?
No.
You got your 401. Sit. You get 400.
Well, the guy who won the batting title this year for Colorado, he sat the last two or three games of the season. The guy for Colorado who won the batting title because Daniel Murphy of the Nationals, he was out as well. And they said, "We don't want to take a chance of you doing worse when Murphy's not playing and dropping below him, having him have a chance to win as well." So they both sat. I mean, great way to end the season, right? You know, you're batting champ for the Nats and for the Rockies. Let's sit the season so we can win the award that way. Let's win by not playing. I love it.
Yeah. Let's boss of the big screen here a little bit today. I think I know what yours is going to be, as it should be, but I'm going to start today. My boss of the big screen is going to be a little get-together, going to go on actually, this is an afternoon affair, too. Normally, this would be morning, but, you know, they want it in more prime time so more people can watch. The Dallas Cowboys travel to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. Steelers actually given up 2.5 in this game. One reason for that is Big Ben plays so much better at home. They're coming off a stinker at Baltimore last week. You know they're going to play a little bit better. He's got, you know, all of his tools at the ready. Dallas, You know, when does Dak Prescott come back down to earth? I mean, he can't play like this forever. Sooner or later, he's got to have that game. Is this it?
Yeah, and I'm trying to look at who have the Cowboys beaten, you know, with Prescott when he's been out there. At the Redskins, a little impressive, I guess, maybe, but the Bears, the 49ers, the Bengals aren't any good. At the Packers, that one was impressive at Lambeau Field. I'll give him that one there.
No,
but home with the Eagles, at the Browns. So, really, I want to see a true test. I think this will be his biggest test, even more so than going and playing at the Packers, because Green Bay just hasn't been right this year. There's something that's been off.
Well, yeah,
about
no running
Packers.
Game.
Yeah,
that's really what's
we talked about Eddie Lacy and what he's having for
all
breakfast.
All right, now, for yours, it's got to be Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, of course. Sunday Night Football, the Seahawks taking on the New England Patriots. Of course, that'll be on NBC. 5:30 kickoff there. And I just honestly, I want to watch both tight ends go off for over 100 yards. I'd like Jimmy Graham and
Alex
Rob Gronkowski.
Alex Gelhar, who was just sitting in here, I think said during the commercial break and not on the air, he said he likes the Seahawks' chances for an upset tonight.
Yeah, hey, I would love that. It'd salvage a bad weekend for me, man. I'm telling you, it'd be a great way to go out, man, to finish things off in style. But you never know. I mean, look, the Patriots are not invincible. They got beat 16-0 and shut out at home. Oh, Brady wasn't there. Whatever, okay? But bottom line is this is hands down the best defense that Brady's faced all year and will face in the Seattle Seahawks because they don't play Denver, I believe, on the schedule, you know? So it's going to be a great game. You get Cam Chancellor back. He's a heart and soul of that defense, the heavy hitter. They're going to start CJ Prosize, try to mix things up there a little bit. I wish they had Michael Bennett rushing from the edge, and, you know, don't we all? You wish you had Thomas Rawls back. But what I do like, though, about the Seahawks, barring the fact anyone else gets more injured, Russell Wilson, he's back to about 95% himself right now, which is fine. He looked great in that game against Buffalo. And you saw, when he's able to do more things, JD, they went from a team limping along with 10, 15, maybe 20 points to what? Scoring 31. On the Bills, and the Bills can play some good solid defense at times too, so it's going to be a great game. That's my boss at the big screen.
Yeah, so we got fun stuff for you. Most of the action later on in the day. There are some other things in the earlier part of the schedule that we'll get to as we go forward here. Wow, that's an hour down already. That was a fast hour.
Yeah.
For Sports on Tap. Coming up next, we'll take a look at what the Chargers are up to this week. We'll call our boys Dave and Jeff down in San Diego. It's coming up at 95.5 KLOS.
On the next Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
It's time once again for the LA Auto Show. Going to be at the Convention Center November 18th through the 27th. And on Monday, the FHF RV is going to be located at the famous Randy's Donuts in Los Angeles. And the first 10 people to show up at the RV at 8 a.m. will receive a family four-pack of tickets to the LA Auto Show.
The LA Auto Show. There's something for everyone. Whether you're new car shopping, taking test drives, learning about the latest technology.
You can talk sports. You can talk with any guy in the world.
Kicking off right now on 95.5 KLOS.
Hey, thanks for tuning us in. Appreciate that. JD in the Bush with you here on 95.5 KLOS doing our Sunday morning sports thing, getting ready for NFL season week number 10. That's a little less than 2 hours away. And, of course, we've also got some fun for you. Bleed for this. Have you seen the trailers for this? Looks pretty good. If you're watching any sports at all, you're seeing the trailers for this. Got some cool screening passes for you. It's coming up. 95.5 KLOS.
Like the one you knew before. My great-grandfather was at Pearl Harbor, and a lot of my family has given up, you know, has gone and fought in wars, and I really haven't done a damn thing as far as laying myself on the line like that, and so I have a great deal of respect for those that have and what the flag stands for.
That's the voice of Pat Tillman, and somebody that you're probably hearing a lot of this Veterans Day weekend. That's right, it's all weekend long. It starts on Friday, and we're doing salutes here on KLOS, having people call in and do shout-outs and stuff like that, and it continues throughout the weekend, especially when it comes to sports figures serving in the military. Man, there's been a bunch of them. Pat Tillman, of course, one of the more recognizable ones of recent years, I guess. God, can you believe how long it's been? It's been like 12 years or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it has indeed, years. Too. And, you know, he actually lost his life. A lot of the other veterans who were playing were able to fortunately come back here and be back with their family and friends. But with Pat Tillman going over there, losing his life in the line of fire as well, too. Certainly, you know, with heavy hearts, we still think of him that way. Happy Veterans Day to you and yours. And it's certainly appropriate, too, being the fact that we're going to our boy Dave Palais from the Dave and Jeff Show down in San Diego. Last I checked, there's a couple military people hanging around San Diego, too. How much does the military mean when you see them out at the game, see them walk in the street? It's the root and the fabric of that town, isn't it, Dave?
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, you look at, obviously, what San Diego is, and when they say it's America's finest city, which we like to use all the time because we obviously don't win a lot of sports. We're so proud of the military. One of my favorite things we do here in San Diego is Sunday Day Padre games, mm-hmm. where the military is in attendance, yep. and they stop, and the entire crowd will stand up in, I believe, the fourth inning, and they give a standing ovation, and you'll see the umpires do the same thing, take their hats off, turn, and give a standing ovation. The players on the field did the same thing, and they always appreciate the military here. And obviously, as Louis said, we love entertainment, guys. We love sports. We love radio. We love TV movies. But I think most of us agree, those are our heroes.
That's a cool time to wear those uniforms, too. Every Sunday, they wear those camouflage uniforms they break out for Military Day. Those are awesome. Those are big sellers, man. That's something that's cool to wear 24/7, 365. You can't ever go wrong. No one's going to say, oh, you look like a military person. Take it off. You know, you get mad points for that.
No, it is. It's absolutely incredible. And there's a huge appreciation for it. I lived in Los Angeles, guys, for 18 years, but when I came down here, I don't think I realized the extent of how important the military was till I became a San Diego citizen.
Well, the election has come and gone, and I think we knew what the outcome was going to be when it came to the Chargers Stadium measure before we got into this. Actually, this is a movie we've seen many, many times played out down in San Diego. The question now what?
Now what? Here's what I would do if I was Dean Spanos, owner of the San Diego Chargers. I would take off right now. As soon as the season is over, he has an open ticket to go to Los Angeles. I would leave. This city has turned their back on him so many times. They don't like Dean Spanos. They don't like the Spanos family, and they don't trust him. So if I was the San Diego Chargers, if I were the San Diego Chargers, I'd move up to Los Angeles. I think I have a better team than the Rams. I have Phillip Rivers. I have a star quarterback, something the Rams don't have. And I would try and win over that fan base and say, you know what, you're going to follow a winner, and hopefully you look at us a little bit different than you do to the Clippers or the Lakers, but hopefully if you're going to fall in love with the NFL, you're going to fall in love with the Chargers more than the Rams, because they have no chance here. And really, Dean Spanos' hands are tied with the new stadium, and it's not working. They drew 50,000 last week with the Titans.
Wow.
They drew 50,000 for opening day. They aren't going to draw for the Dolphins today because the Miami fans aren't going to travel. They don't need to. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers come in next. They aren't going to travel. They don't need to. And the last two home games are the Raiders and Chiefs, and those are going to be sellouts filled with Raiders and Chiefs fans.
Yeah, I like both the Raiders and Chiefs in those ones. I'm just saying right now. But, why not go Art Modell on them? Why not take a couple weeks, regroup, work out a deal in the DL with the Rose Bowl, and screw San Diego? Just move them before the Bucs game on December 4th.
I don't think they're going to let them move before the season's over, but he has an open ticket to leave as soon as it's done.
That'd be awesome. Wouldn't it? Breaking news. They're playing at the Rose Bowl.
How much longer do you think you have Phillip Rivers? I mean, he's playing at a very high level. He's been playing at a very high level for a long time. You mentioned the fact that he could very easily be the reason that makes the Chargers better than the Rams in the next couple of years while they're both playing in the same house. Is he going to be around long enough to play in a brand new billion-dollar stadium 3 seasons from now?
He says no. Now, if you look at him play, and you listen to Tom Brady, who says, I can play well into my 40s. And, you know, all of a sudden, it does flip. Remember, Peyton Manning was great, and he wasn't great all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. Big guy, 6'5", you know, 240, never takes it serious. Hasn't missed a game his entire career.
Right.
But he doesn't want to be in Los Angeles. He has made that clear. He has 8 kids. He wants 12 kids, and he doesn't want to be in L.A. because he doesn't feel it's the right environment for his family and what he does.
And I still think that's the best stat. We talk about fantasy numbers, and this guy went off for 4 touchdowns. Rivers has 8 kids with the same woman, and he's an NFL player. I mean, my God, should he not get an award for that?
He's incredible. I think he's a great guy. He likes to make jokes about everybody. Yeah. He is a great guy. The more I talk to him, the more I'm like, I can't think anything negative. You know, he's awesome. He's a good guy.
Now, how do you even get a car to put 8 kids and you in?
That's funny you say that. I asked him. I said, how do you get everybody around? I asked him that same question. And he drives one of those big Mercedes, like buses. You've seen them on the road.
Yeah, I saw that on Taken with Liam Neeson, right? Those things, you know, when they're kidnapping everybody and they roll them out right. And
only this one has bolts, has lightning bolts on the side of it, right? This one's dressed up with lightning bolts? Mercedes with bolts?
Is it bulletproof like Liam Neeson's was? No. Too nice down there in San Diego. They'd never say a bad thing about Rivers, you know, but you can't blame him. He's been there through thick and thin. And think about it. Think the plight that the Chargers have had throughout the last 20-some-odd years. You've been blessed with 3 quarterbacks. J.D., they've had a guy named Dan Fouts was pretty good. Drew Brees, he was kind of special, still is. And Phillip Rivers, that's one thing you've got right down there.
Yeah, that is. That's one thing they've had excitement for. They've had very good wide receivers. You know, through the past, you know, you Wes Chandler, and you look at John Jefferson, and Charlie Stoyner, Hall of Famer, and Kellen Winslow, tight end, and even Keenan Allen was coming along, Antonio Gates. They've had some exciting things to talk about. They just don't have that Super Bowl championship, and that's the frustration. Just, Jeff and I always joke around, if you watch The Karate Kid, when Daniel gets his ass kicked, he's wearing a Wes Chandler jersey.
He is. You know, I was just saying that the other day. God, I want to watch that movie. Not the crappy one with Will Smith's kid, the good one, man, from the 80s.
Dave Vallee, the Dave and Jeff Show for many years, entertaining folks down in San Diego. Last thing, you guys are favored by 4 against Miami today. Can you hold Jay Ajayi under 200 yards rushing?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they absolutely do. They did a pretty good job against DeMarco Murray last week in the Titans. And the Chargers team, even though they're still below 500, I think it's a pretty good team. And I think they only lose maybe one more game the rest of the year. The schedule pans out pretty well in their favor.
Okay, 2 questions here. Did you know who Jay Ajayi was a month ago, and how long did it take you to get his name right?
Well, I'll probably screw it up today, remember, when I'm reporting for that game. But I did know who he was a month ago because I saw him play in college. So he was – I can't remember watching some of his highlights, but I knew the name. because it was a little bit different. But this should be exciting, guys, today. And either way, Miami's won three straight, so you never know which way.
We keep saying last question, but I have to say this, too. Your son is on this Alabama squad currently now as one of the quarterbacks. Is that right?
Yeah, my son's a backup quarterback for Alabama.
What is that experience like, even for dad, to watch that team do what they do to teams week in and week out?
You know, I'm on cloud nine. I grew up a huge Alabama fan, even though I'm in California, and the fact that he's with Alabama, it's like someone is saying they're a fan of the New York Yankees and their son's with a shortstop with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be happier. Going back in 2 weeks for senior day when they play Auburn, and we'll take a picture at midfield with Nick Saban, and my son inserts a picture of our family will keep forever. But we're gonna try and ride this thing out to the national championship game, and it's been a great story. I got to tell you real fast. A couple years ago, he quit baseball. He was a college baseball player, and I was really disappointed to keep up a baseball scholarship. He just the dad will work out, and then all of a sudden he gets a phone call from Nick Saban's office saying he wants you to come on as a preferred walk on, and sure enough, it worked out.
Wow. Exciting stuff, Dave Pallet. Yeah, thanks once again. Really appreciate you coming on, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, real good. Wow. Whew. Your kid is playing for Alabama. Nick Saban in Alabama right now while they're in the middle of this role. That's pretty exciting. You know,
I wanted to ask him, it's Alabama against everybody else, five teams losing in the top 10. But I mean, he could have gone on in that discussion for 20 minutes.
For
we got a show to end here, in 40 minutes. He could have gone on
seriously
about who's going to lose to Alabama. Someone eventually has to in the national championship
and
game.
And honestly, if I gave you Alabama or the field, are you taking?
Bama.
It's not even close, right?
It was like back in the day when you took Tiger or the field.
Right,
you know, these tournaments,
and it wasn't close then.
Alabama and the field, honestly, come on.
All right, should we do vet, no vet?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, and we're not talking about your dogs and cats. We're talking about chance to score some movie screening passes.
Yes.
Bleed for this. Like I said, you're watching any sports, you're seeing the promos for this. Give you a chance to score those tickets with Veteran, No Veteran. That's coming up next, 95.5 KLOS. 95.5 KLOS, Almighty 90s weekend. Yeah, we're doing that again. That's fun stuff. Love it. 91 for the Black Album.
The only two stations, I get Sirius satellite radio. I listen to it for sports so I can stay dialed in. But aside from that, two music stations, which is sad because I feel like cable. You know how you waste so many stations on cable, JD? Dude, they got like 150 music stations I get, and I listen to two of them. You can't just pay for deal. Block everything out. Give me two. Doesn't matter. Listen to 90s music. Makes me feel like I'm back home growing up alternative style. And that's it, man. It's crazy.
We've always got some fun stuff for you as far as prizes on the show. Thanks to John and the gang over in the marketing promotions arm here at KLOS. Bleed for this, which is a really cool looking trailer. If you've seen this, it looks like a young guy, a fighter. He's coming up. He gets in a car accident and paralyzed based on a true story. Going to give you a chance to score these really cool passes. It's coming up tomorrow night, Monday the 14th. And this is going to be a really special screening. Over at the AMC Burbank 16. Going to hook you up with that. But you need to get on the phones right now, 800-955-KLOS. Dial us up. We'll load the phones and let you play vet or no vet. The Bushka Fact thing.
Now, Bushka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
No way.
Incredible yet true.
You know, what you got, Rob?
JD, so many times we hear stats like Mike Piazza was the 1,200 and something player taken in the draft. How could so many players miss? Tom Brady was 199. Wow. Yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson was a third round. So, there's a lot of guys out there. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. But there were 101 players drafted before Johnny Unitas. 195.
Wow, Johnny U.
Yeah, 195 guys before Terrell Davis. 198 before the aforementioned Tom Brady. How many players were taken before the Cowboys' Dak Prescott, who's going to lead his team to your boss at the big screen, taking on the Steelers at the ketchup bottle today? Stick around. I'll tell you about it next. 95.5 KLOS.
You've got room for an extra $1,000 in your pocket, right?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Good.
Your shot at $1,000 in cash happens every Monday through Friday, every 15 minutes at 9.
Woo-hoo! With JD and the Bus.
On 95.5 KLOS. Now, Bushka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
No way.
Incredible yet true.
Yes, another incredible Bushka Fact. We're ready for the payoff. You've got us all waiting.
And we're talking about the amount of players taken before that guy. Are you kidding me? He wasn't a number one overall pick. Johnny Unitas picked 102nd.
And remind me, how many people passed on Tom Brady?
198. 195 passed on Terrell Davis. Now we're talking the Cowboys' amazing rookie, Dak Prescott. He's got him off to a 7-1 start this year. How many people picked in front of Dak Prescott? 134. He was 135th pick in the 2016 NFL draft. You talk about a rare find, man. It is.
And you know, if Tony Romo doesn't get hurt, we don't even know this.
Yeah.
You don't even know if he doesn't get hurt by your Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, you know, and that was a great play, too. And I'll really be curious to see what happens when Romo comes back 100% ready to go. Do they pull the plug on Prescott? You know, if Prescott wins this game today, Pittsburgh, I don't think so. I think he's there for good.
Coming up next, we're going to go to the phones. I've got Barbara and Sandy and Mark and Jeff all standing by, ready to play Vet or No Vet. We've got movie passes for you. A fun screening we've got set up with our friends over at the AMC Burbank 16. Chance for you to see Bleed for This, which is really cool. A movie. Aaron Eckhart is in this. Katie Sagal is in this. If you're watching any sports, you're seeing this movie about a fighter who gets a car wreck and all that kind of stuff. That's what it is. So we want to play Vet No Vet. And you know what? Our Sports on Tap listeners, not like our sports listeners over at NBC, Rob. They're not used to waiting for like 10 minutes to get in the air.
Yeah. They hear a song, boom, and they bounce.
You're playing a song now. What? Why did I call? But you know what? Sandy has hung in there. She's stuck with it. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Thanks for hanging in there, play our game. If you want to play our game, 800-955-KLOS, you need to dial right now because Sandy can't win all the prizes. But, Sandy, it's Vet No Vet, and all you got to do is we're going to tell you about a sports star, and you tell us whether you think he was a veteran or not, okay?
Okay.
Pretty easy. Nolan Ryan, vet or no vet?
No vet.
Ooh, 1967 with the New York Mets, took a year off to go to the Army Reserve.
Darn.
Hold on, okay? 800-955-KLOS, that's the phone number. If you want to play Vet No Vet, do you have one ready to go here?
I got one ready to go, absolutely.
Is it going to be, like, beyond easy?
Well, like I said, man, that's why I'm the vote of the most favorite personality here at KLOS, because I make it easy for the listeners, right? Nobody's ever got mine wrong. You know that? I've never had anybody get mine wrong. So.
You are 100%.
I am 100%.
I'll say that.
It's the easiest of the
Every
easy.
Every time we've done this, because we do it, it's ghost, no ghost. It's pretty easy. Ghost, no ghost, vet, no vet. You know? It's but
ghost, no ghost
is
fun. Are you dead or are you alive?
All right, we're going to do this like CC does. Chris Carter, Breakfast with Needles coming up. He does it like this every once in a while. Let's go to line one and see who's there. Hi, KLOS. Who's this?
This is Richard.
Richard, vet, no vet is the name of the game.
Johnny Manziel.
No vet.
That's
you
correct.
See? There you go.
Look at that.
Pretty bright. See?
Just that easy.
Good job, man.
Hold on.
You're welcome.
Hold on. Hold. Right? Okay. You want to do another one?
Fine.
Yeah, I got disconnected. I'm Mark from Mission Viejo.
Hi, Mark. Good. We got you back. Awesome. Vet, no vet. Are you doing it or am I doing it? You go ahead and do it.
Vet, no vet. Jared Goff.
No vet.
There you go.
Yeah, it's two winners in a row. The Bush streak is that. You go ahead and put Mark on hold, too. Congratulations, Rob. Wow, you're undefeated.
Like I said, I don't need to play Stump the Listener Sunday morning at 7. Half our people probably hung over anyway that are waking up. They don't want
to
think.
You're not trying to torture people here.
I'm not.
If I throw Tom Seaver at you, you don't know what to say, right?
Oh, my God. Now I got to think about this. Jeez, was he in Nam? Was he in Korea?
Still to come. Still to come. We'll let you know who goes off this week in a very quick Rams report because they're in New York City. But we've got an update for you. It's coming up on 95.5 KLOS. GNR on the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS, Almighty 90s weekend. Yeah, that affects us here, too, on Sports on Tap. JD and the Bush congratulating Richard Ramirez and Mark Nutter. They're the two winners of the Vet No Vet game that we had. They get to go see the movie Bleed for This tomorrow night. Ready for a little Ram report?
I am indeed, man.
Dave, do not play the Ram It song. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just play any music bed you want. Do not play the Ram It song, okay? All right, thank you.
Rams getting ready to go, JD, just about an hour from now. Man, this team has racked up a ton of miles this year. The roadies that these guys have had, you know, and they had to make that London trip. Now they're in New York City taking on the Jets. I like the Rams to win this game by virtue of that Bryce Petty is going to start. for the Jets. Just came out a little bit ago. Well, look, it's his first start. The kid could get a little bit rattled here, honestly. And the Rams, they've always had a good front four. I mean, Donald, you know, Hayes. I mean, what they're bringing up through the middle has been awesome this year.
I just don't know how they're going to score. Yeah, I mean, the Jets are always good against the run.
I didn't say it's going to be pretty. It could be like
maybe on defense.
It's going to be like Wendy Monroe, my first girlfriend. I mean, ugly as hell, but got the job done. They could wind up winning 7-6. You know, I'm sorry, Wendy, if you're listening, love you. But that's how it could be, man. I see SEC football from 2011 written all over this. 9-6. Nobody scores a touchdown, a bunch of field goals. But I really want to see Petty march up and down the field on that Rams pass rush. That's what I'm saying.
You know what? We could have had the battle of rookie quarterback. If the Jets had announced this a couple of days ago, maybe Jeff Fisher would have said, all right, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's put let's have the battle of rookie quarterbacks. But no.
So are you going to tell me that a Bryce Petty has a better shot than at least a veteran in Case Keenum, albeit not playing his best football right now? I mean, come on. That's a tall order to fill for a guy there, but who knows, man?
Well, you know, it throws their body clocks off when they have to travel west to east. That's always more difficult for the players, so they've got that going against them. I don't know. I think that they got a shot at it because, like you say, Bryce Petty is in there now, not Ryan Fitzpatrick, because that takes down the productivity out of Brandon Marshall and the whole receiving core game. That means that you have to focus on Forte, right? Matt Forte. Yeah. And what are the Rams going to do? They'll stack the box and try and keep him clogged up. So.
Yeah. I sniff an upset, though. FPI gives the Jets a 68% chance to win to 32 for the Rams. So you're talking two-thirds there. But that came out, too, before Petty was announced that he's going to start, too.
I see a 13-9 game is what I say.
Yeah, I could see that as well. I could see something ugly in that one. But I'm going to go for the Rams to get a win.
So nobody on those two squads is going to be part of who goes off. But we'll do that for you coming up next. 95.5 KLOS. 95.5 KLOS Sports on Tap with JD and the Bush. We're getting ready to put the wraps on week 11 of the NFL season. Man, can you believe it? It's well past halfway through the season now.
Yeah, it's coming on, man. It's flown by. A lot of teams, have their buys really this weekend ends it here. But yeah, we'll be at week 11 next week, man. It's crazy. It's 17-week season now, of course, with that one extra added week. But you know, we wait all year for football to get here. And now it's just like, come back. You wish you could have it halfway.
Wait. I know. Horrible. There's a bunch of teams saying that. If you're Cleveland, do you want a do-over or do you just want to get it over?
I don't know. All I know is I don't want a do-over with Cleveland. You just keep doing what you're doing. Okay, they're going to lose to Pittsburgh next week, then the Giants.
All right, every week we like to predict. It's who goes off.
Football. Time for the picks.
Let's go! Football.
Let's see who goes off this week.
Yeah!
Well, last week my advice to you was Aaron Rodgers. I said Aaron Rodgers was going to go off for the simple fact that Green Bay has no running game and he's going to have to put the ball up 50 times. I was pretty close. 26 of 43 attempts for Aaron Rodgers, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Oh, by the way, he ran quite successfully for 43 yards.
Yeah. Put up a whole bunch of you don't ever see Aaron Rodgers run for
not lately, but you do now.
Yeah, you have to. Eddie Lacy's not there, so he's got to pick it up. No, that was a good call. Looks like we both came out
on the
winning
side. You had a good one last
week. Well, I had Drew Brees, all right? And it was easy because I had saw Brees the week earlier, you know, do a great job against my Seattle defense. So what's he going to do against the Niners? I didn't care it was on the road. Mm-hmm. He was 28 of 39, 323 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs, quarterback rating of 122.
Howza.
In that game is the Niners got smoked by the Saints and back up to 500 now. So that was last week.
Yeah, and it shows everybody that Drew can win away from the dome, so that's good. All right, so on to this week. Who goes off this week? Well, I'll jump in here first and say that it's going to be Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald has absolutely owned the San Francisco 49ers in his career. As a matter of fact, he has averaged 11 targets, 8 receptions, and 4 touchdowns in his last 3 contests against the 49ers. He owns these guys. He put up 20 fantasy points against them in Week 5 this year, and they're coming off the bye. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. And let me throw one more thing on there. San Francisco sucks.
Yeah, they do suck. They do. You know, I'm noticing a trend here. Earlier on in the season, I was always picking whoever was playing Cleveland and finding a good one. Right. And guess what? That paid off. Last week, I picked Brees against the Niners. Now you're picking Fitzgerald against the Niners.
Yep.
49ers are easy pickings right now. Defense, offense, they don't have it together. I like to stick with quarterbacks. I don't analyze a running game and the wide receivers and stuff as much as you do. I think Matt Ryan's hard to stop. I saw him do a great job up in Seattle for that game. They're playing the Eagles. Still, I don't know what I'm going to get with them, man. it's a coin toss on Carson Wentz and those guys. They're 3-0 at home, but the Falcons 4-1 on the road. He can light it up. He beat Denver on the road. I like Matt Ryan to throw for 3 touchdowns. Not saying who they're going to, but nonetheless, the Falcons will win that game. How Philly's giving up a point, I have no idea.
That's going to do it. Thanks to the vets. Have an enjoyable Veterans Day weekend. Breakfast with the Beatles up next on 95.5 KLOS.
At Wendy's.
This just in. Wendy's new Swiss Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now an option with the 4 for $4. Let's go live to Switzerland. You can hear the ceremonial Swiss Alpine horns welcoming the new Swiss Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. Now an officer from